signal until we have a situation in which Tamir Rice, you know, who's out playing, you know, is not, you know, effectively committing a lethal crime, you know, a crime that threatens his life. You know, until we have a situation where, you know, Ka'Jimmy Powell, for mere fact of being mentally ill, is not shot down in the street, until we have, you know, a situation in which, you know, John Crawford, you know, who is shopping in Walmart, is not shot down and executed in a store. Progress is nice, but it's, you know, to be noted, and the struggle continues after that.
Ta-Nehisi Coates, author of Between the World and Me. To see our whole interview, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Nermeen Sheikh, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Caron, Steve Martinez, Hani Massoud, Juan Carlos Davila, and Pedro Rodriguez. Mike DeFilippo and Miguel Noguera are our engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Our website's democracynow.org.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
On the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
This is Rebecca Pierce. I'm a journalist and filmmaker from the San Francisco Bay Area. You can find me at weirdsister.tv, and this is Aboriginal Radio.
Okay, welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. This is the Angry Indian. A lot of you who are regular listeners are pretty aware of my opinion about rap slash hip hop slash street music in terms of the black world. I'm not a particular fan. A lot of it, if you could cut the lyrics out and just keep the beats, I'd be cool. See, because, you know, a lot of you are using, you know, grown folks music, you know, for your beats. So, I'm interested. You know, I mean, Blue Magic, what have you. You know, that's where I'm at. Jazz, that's where I'm at. But, you know, I respect, you know, an artist who's about something. It doesn't have to be a medium that I particularly care for. I've read Shakespeare, studied Shakespeare. You know that. I've written about the Tempest in terms of racism. I've written about a few things in terms of racism in regards to Shakespeare that a lot of folks, for whatever reason, didn't want to see, right? So I'm trying to tell you, not my thing. But there are times that I hear something that's, you know, it blows me away, because I'm asking myself, why are not more people thinking like this? And why isn't this particular artist, why am I not hearing about him? And we're going to talk about a young man coming out of the United States, you know, in this particular media, that is actually saying something, that's actually doing something. I mean, it's amazing when I looked up, you know, on what little there is to learn about this brother online. You know, he's a father. He says he's happily married. You know, we're always glad to hear that around here. He's a poet. He's an MC. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. He's a lyricist. And, you know, he put out a piece that we're going to play a little later. You're going to hear him discuss it first. And I assume you'll want to hear the rest of it and check out everything else. And we're going to put that information in the post when we put up this show. But, you know, without any further ado, let me introduce, you know, to the fourth world, Marion Gates. He's coming out of, I mean, that's one of the other reasons I had to talk to this brother. You know, it's like he's coming out of the middle. I mean, literally out of the middle of the United States, the Midlands, where a lot of people don't even realize that black folks live and thrive. I mean, we've forgotten about Black Wall Street. You know, there's a lot on either coast that, you know, we tend to forget about. And he's coming out of the middle of this. So it can't be any more real. Brother Gates, you know, welcome to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Thank you.
Piece that you sent me via Twitter, AIDS, Africans in Distress. Tell us about it.
Well, I wrote the song
with all the things that's going on with the cop killing and just what I grew up with, because I'm actually from the South, but due to the military, I was able to move out here in Nebraska. But just a lot of the different things that I was seeing going on in the world, things that people face every day. My father, he grew up in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and from his stories, I decided to just write a piece about the different things that we face, including the AIDS epidemic. But I used the letters for AIDS to express the pain that we face every day as Black folks. I feel like our communities have been affected. It started with slavery, and the piece is actually off a project that I'm working on called Back to the Plantation. So I wanted to express how the things that we face as a whole, it's worldwide, is what I found out as I got older. The things that we face worldwide due to slavery being one of the major things, and how it's infected all of us. So I wanted to really express that, from police brutality to unprotected sex to us killing one another, the scam wars that we have, the way that America views us, even though we've been here for years, they view us as guests. I just wanted to speak on all of those different topics, and how some Black folks, whenever they make it to the top, they tend to forget where they came from, and they tend to forget that they're still viewed as Black people. And we will forever, it would seem that we will forever be viewed as guests, even in a country that we helped build, even in a country that we've contributed to. People like myself joined the military and served, but we're still viewed as guests. And I was upset about all that, so I was telling Black folks to come together, and that we needed to go against this system of oppression and self-hate and fight it.
Well, like I said, man, I want to praise you for having it in you to see that need, that gap, especially at this time, because you and I are talking now, on a Saturday, where we've seen 3 terrorist attacks in a week by white supremacists. Our brothers and sisters who are on the street in Black Lives Matter were shot at by 3 white men who had basically been trying to set them up for a week, because we now know that there is an email trail. They've been connected to the 4chan extremist website. They identify themselves as white supremacists. The Black Lives Matter movement in Minneapolis says that they have video of an off-duty police officer who was assisting them that hasn't been confirmed. And the next night, they were shot at again. There were 3 shots aimed at them. Nothing was done about this. And mind you, listeners, this is happening in front of a police station. And then yesterday, we had the Colorado Springs Planned Parenthood attack. White male goes in and tries to stop the abortion of white children, I suppose, because we who are conscious understand that that's what the anti-abortion movement is all about. For this, for your piece to come out at this particular time, when we're watching our community under attack, we're watching women in the United States literally under attack. We have the GOP that is not only pushing racism and, hatred towards immigrants, they're also, supporting the concept of legitimate rape, the concept of women have no rights, that a man need respect. In terms of the Black community, what are we supposed to do if we're conscious, especially of your age group? How are we supposed to navigate this and, say, bring it to another level, perhaps the international level? After the killing of Michael Brown, his parents took that case to the United Nations, which has responded twice officially. Well, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I feel like we need to continue. We need to take more action. I feel like what Louis Farrakhan did wasn't enough. That's just my opinion on it. I feel like what we did in the 50s and 60s is no longer a way that we should go, a route that we should take. I feel like we're just repeating the same thing over and over. So that's why I said, when you attack this body, you know, it's going down. When I use the AIDS as a metaphor as well to say that we're being broke down. So it's time for us to actually fight back, to have it, find that cure in order for us to overcome this. And I feel like us just rioting and protesting isn't enough. I think it's about time that we start fighting back. And whether that just be physically, if that means financially, as far as boycotting, I feel like that's more powerful, more impactful. Taking our finances elsewhere, actually investing in our own communities. Because money is power, so is votes. We need to make sure that we can put people in positions, and our children in positions where they can make some change from a political standpoint. And finances, of course, impact the politicians, because we can now fund our own politicians that can actually pass laws and make decisions on our behalf. Because right now, the way that things are going, we don't have that political power. We don't have the funds and finances in order to fund the government, because those political people that we see in office right now, they're paid for. They're paid for by white folks. And we're spending our money with white folks or on their businesses. We're investing into their corporations and brands. We're not building our own brand. So I think it's about time that we actually start taking some real action, because I feel like talking is what we've been doing for years. So I want to see some actual action happen as far as us making major moves towards freeing ourselves, because they're not going to do it. Us begging, us asking, us holding up signs, us being peaceful, it's not working, because they don't care. All they're going to do is bring out some statistics, tell us how terrible we are as a people, and tell us that we don't deserve the same rights as they do, because we are not human. They still treat us as if we're three-fifths human, and that's worldwide. Whenever they talk about poverty, they always mention Africa. Even though Africa has a lot of beautiful places, even though Africa is where they, as a land that they've raped and taken gold from and ideals, they treat it like they call it the third world country, even though it's a continent full of a lot of beautiful countries. So I feel like as a whole, we need to start really investing in one another, making sure that we fund the political parties, even if we have to start our own, and make sure that we vote for them and make ideals for the minorities, join forces with other minority groups that are also being oppressed in this country, in order to make some real noise. We got to really shake up the system, and the only way we can do that is financially and actually fighting back whenever they put their hands on us. So that's how I feel about that.
Alright, well, one of the things, before we take a break, you know, let me ask you another one. We have Barack Obama. He's been in for seven and a half years. He's about to leave. He made a lot of... he didn't really make any promises. You know, I know a lot of African people in this country are very confused about that. They thought that he was going to do something. There were some people who really thought they were going to get a check. And, you know, that didn't happen, right? Then you had Dr. Ben Carson. Now, he's the latest in a whole slew of black Republicans, card-carrying members of the GOP, who understand their token position within the party, accept it, are proud of it. We can name Alan Keyes, we can name Alan West, we can go on down the line. J.C. Watts, what have you. Maya Love, who after she got in received, you know, written threats at her home from the KKK, and the GOP didn't do a damn thing to support her. So, you know, when you talk about organizing, you know, that's a tricky question as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, for one thing, you're dealing with the fact that a lot of us are simply not prepared for very much. And we can, you know, get angry with each other, which is what Bill Cosby, another black conservative, was trying to do with the pound cake speech, where we can down ourselves for being in this position. We can be realistic in terms of lack of education, not so much opportunities, but that's even having the raw material to be able to pass an exam to even get into higher education. You know, where do you perhaps see, you know, from, again, as a younger man, How, you know, where do you see, and someone with military experience, where do you see this in terms of preparation, being able to handle these challenges when they come along, and the sort of leadership that we have? We're stuck with Al Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton, who in a lot of ways you can say is an activist only because he's accepted as one, but when you look at his jacket, he hasn't done anything for, you know, in terms of what you're talking about. You know, what do we do with a morass of confusion and self-centered leadership that can't see past their own being invited to the National Press Club in terms of advancement for African people in the United States and throughout the Americas, if not the world?
Well, I agree with you 100% on Al Sharpton. I feel like he does it for fame more than he does it to actually help black folks advance. He only goes for big cases. In the national media, you'll find him there to stir up the pot. But I feel like he's just a pawn in the game. And he might know he's a pawn in the game and doesn't care, or he doesn't know he's a pawn, but either way, he's a pawn in the game. And I feel like he's really, it's a shame that we have enemies within our own group, guys that aren't really representing us. I feel like with this new generation that's coming up, that we have people that are kids that are seeing a lot of this. They can see right through the bull crap that's been going on, and they've seen a lot of people that have been placed in leadership positions were not placed in leadership positions by us. They were placed in leadership positions by white supremacists. So our mind state has shifted to having more leaders that are whose mind state is on building up schools, building up black pride, and actually taking some real action, because people are tired, like I said before, of just hearing talk over and over. So what I'm trying to do myself, and I'll be out the military in about a year, is actually start making moves myself, starting with the music. But I want to move on into actually going out and talking to a lot of the different schools, to people in my age group and younger, and trying to get them to understand the importance of getting the education that they can get until we can get better. Mm-hmm. And also investing in one another. Because oftentimes we spend our money on Jordans, we spend our money on Cadillacs, we spend our money on Rams, we spend our money on Versace and all these other white high-end brands, but we don't pour that same money into ourselves. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to shift our resources, what little we have, because we're known to make lemons out of lemonade. We're known to take chitlins and make a meal out of it, you know, the scraps that we're given. And we can do that again, but we just got to do it financially. And instead of pouring our money into stuff that we really don't need, or stuff that's always marketed to us on television, we need to put that money into our communities, into these young black entrepreneurs, the older black entrepreneurs, people that are actually doing business for a just cause. So that's what I'm suggesting. And that's what my music and everything that I'm doing is aimed towards, inspiring us to love ourselves and to love our people enough to say, I'm not going to Walmart today. I'm going to pour it into this black business that I know is up the street. But we got to really get those guys out there. And another thing I'm trying to do is get black sponsors so I can help promote their businesses. Instead of yelling out Versace in my song, I want to be able to yell out a black high-end or a black whatever clothing line is out there that's trying to come up.
All right, yeah, I mean, that's good to hear. And, you know, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the music industry. We're going to talk about the framing of black minds through entertainment. You know, a lot of you know I'm not a fan of Empire, and I've told you why. But, you know, that this is pretty much, you know, what we're talking about. And you're listening to Marion Gates. He is a poet, musician, lyricist. I just think he's an all-around fantastic human being, man, and somebody I think you need to know about. This is the Angry Indian, and you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. We're going to take a break so stations may identify themselves. Please stay tuned.
Yes, Sinclair Skinner. You can find me at SinclairSkinner.com. Twitter at Skinner Liberated. That's Skinner, LIBER, the number 8, ED. And you found me on Aboriginal Radio.
By the way, how are all my black country? I haven't been home in 4 years.
Like I left them, I guess.
White folks still need them. The average black cat just struggling to survive, but one day after another, wondering why sometimes. 9/11 black leaders, all leading each other through changes mostly. Preachers still preaching. Negro intellectuals being paid to say how untogether niggas are. Everybody trying to get them some money. Nobody believing in nothing, except a few nuts who believe they know every damn thing. Half the niggas sitting around blaming each other, and the other half sitting around blaming whitey. White folks still listening, still watching out the corner of their eye. Except they don't laugh much anymore. They shoot.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
I'm Dick Gregory with PETA. Martin Luther King Jr. taught me the fight against oppression is never an easy one. It's even harder if you have no voice. For animals held captive in circuses, life consists of cramped cages, shackles, and daily beatings. There is no escape. They cannot demand their freedom. Images like these bring only one word to my mind, slavery. Be an abolitionist for the animals. Please don't go to circuses. For more information, contact PETA.
757-622-PETA.
Yo, what's up? My name is Jasiri X, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really responding to the call, man, of my sister Rosa Clemente, you know what I'm saying? For Men in Hip Hop, really stand up and say, like, rape under no circumstances is acceptable, you know what I'm saying? Rape shouldn't be rapped about, it shouldn't be supported, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really feeling like, you know, especially after Rick Ross came out today and said what he said, you know, he didn't use the word rape, but he described a scenario in which, you know, he put something in a woman's drink and had sex with her, and she didn't consent. If you have sex with a woman and she didn't consent, that's rape. And we have to say no to rape. And beyond Rick Ross, whether it's Fox News or their viewers attacking Zelina Maxwell for asking men to stop raping women, whether it's Hollywood, you know, perpetuating, you know, this rape culture, you know, it's got to stop. It's really, you know, we got to take personal responsibility as men. My name is Jasiri X. This is One Hood.
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
Roseanne Cash for the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
Johnny Cash was my dad. For years he had diabetes but ignored it, even as his vision and health slipped away. Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, even take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better too. To learn more, visit healthywithdiabetes.org.
Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. With one nation, break the system to the ground.
At the destruction of our communities, infected with no immunity. If we die out, there won't be eulogy. Charles need to chill out with all that coonery. Blessed being beat down so brutally. Taught a feather after being stripped of nudity. Dead bodies face fast new scrutiny. I'm sick of all of this lunacy. I can no longer stand back neutrally. This an all call for black unity. This verse will classify as mutiny. I reflect all those that influence me. Is it Martin or Gandhi? More like Malcolm or Garvey? Harvey. I don't make Steve Harvey funnies. That's stupid like Barkley.
Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. With one nation, break the system to the ground. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. One nation, break the system to the ground.
Again, a brother dance at a time like this. Or dumb down to a bubble with a mind like this. My soul goal, like even tough, I keep my diss. It's replacing our community, now let's fight it. Systematic, oppression with a refinement. Which hate was justified by a re-signed yes. Created and cultivated by the reminded. Like women in church were told to keep silent. We'll prejudge, as if the fate was designed it. They throw rocks in the glass house, they see giants. Too many black brothers being indicted. They non-violent crimes need to confinement. We're in the dark, it's time to get enlightened. A new fire from within has been ignited. They won't recognize the chaos that we reside in. That's why the race cars keeps on declining.
Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. With one nation, break the system to the ground. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. With one nation, break the system to the
I swear Marshall's Randolph personifies this country instead of a Debbie Pop. She's a Debbie Mommy. Deny that racism really exists. No child support, just screens to never ever resist. Arrest, embrace death, it's suppress my anger. We're her kids, but we get treated as if we're strangers. We're in danger of abuse, both verbal and physical. We're punished as a whole, not as individuals. People were quick to point out so-called Illuminati rituals, yet they ignore the agony echoed in Negro spirituals. We're in a post-racial Anglo-Saxon acclaimed society. That's the oxymoron of rebuttal folks keep providing me. Why providing me nothing but racially charged statistics? The same tactics they used back when it was scientific. No rapture for us blacks, so we try to reach ascension. We get a backflipping bird in a Jewish-based religion.
Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. With one nation, break the system to the ground. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. Attack this body, it's going down. With one nation, break the system to the ground.
This is Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses, and you're listening to a podcast released under a Creative Commons license.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, healthcare, including reproductive health, was women's business and respected as such. Reclaim your healthcare choices by keeping yourself informed and sharing information with your relatives. Inform yourself about Plan B, known as the morning after pill. Plan B will protect you from becoming pregnant after a sexual assault or unprotected sex if taken within 72 hours. Make sure your local Indian Health Service facility carries Plan B. It does not require a prescription and should be provided upon request. It's your right. For more information, call your local healthcare facility. This message is brought to you by Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
I would like anyone who is listening to consider some thoughts that I paraphrase from the words of German pastor Martin Niemöller. You might not care if Donald Trump says Muslims must register with their government because you're not one. And you might not care if Donald Trump says he's going to round up all the Hispanic immigrants because you're not one. And you might not care if Donald Trump says it's okay to rough up black protesters because you're not one. And you might not care if Donald Trump wants to suppress journalists because you're not one. But think about this. If he keeps going and he actually becomes president, he might just get around to you. And you better hope that there's someone left to help you.
Now that America has a black president, is this proof that racism is a thing of the past?
Well, I think white men were 100% of the people that wrote the Constitution, 100% of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, 100% of the people who died at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, probably close to 100% of the people who died at Normandy. This has been a country built basically by white folks in this country who were 90% of the entire nation. I think they ought to defend the legitimate rights of white working class folks who are the victims of discrimination.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Media. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Okay, welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. We're still speaking with Marion Gates. He's coming out of Nebraska. He's a lyricist. He's a poet. I just think he's somebody that you really need to check out. And we've been talking here about his work and its relation to the struggle of being black in America, and right now the struggle of Black Lives Matter in a lot of ways, perhaps maybe even versus the United States mainstream, because we're trying to understand that how you can have a terrorist attack two nights in a row in front of a police station. And there's no national outcry. The FBI is not, and the DHS are not on edge. You know, there's no freak out about this. And then yesterday, you had the Colorado Springs outlet for Planned Parenthood, which provides many services, not just abortions, STD testing or STI testing, as it's called today, counseling, you know, questions about sex, questions about your body, questions about family development. I mean, they're there. Now, the history of the organization in terms of its founder, Margaret Sanger, well, it's a little dicey. It was a little dicey. She never said that she wasn't a bigot, but she was never behind a plan to wipe out black people. That is craziness. Her initial clinics in the city of New York during the turn of the century were the only clinics that saw black women. And Puerto Rican women, the Latinos who were primarily in New York City at that time period, they were the only clinics that would see them for gynecological care, not abortions. Regular doctors would not see people of color at that time. It was a struggle for people of color to find medical care. You had to have a black doctor to go to. And if you did not have a black doctor, you went to the root man or root woman to get fixed, if they could fix you. So what this brother is talking about, what we've been talking about, is along these lines. If we don't have the doctors, if we don't have the administrators, if we don't have people willing to do the background, you know, unthanked, celebratory work, right? Because everybody wants to be a superstar. But see, you can't do that when you're trying to build a nation. And you can't build a nation simply on music. Those who think that Sarafina, the musical, actually got rid of apartheid do not understand politics, do not understand world history, and do not understand how the black man fits into history and woman. And you need to educate yourself. You know, this is not, well, you know, fuck all white people, we just do it. It's not, it can't work like that. It can't work like that. So, you know, Brother Gates, you know, your opinion on this, you know, where should we begin? Now, I'm all for using music as a medium in which to spread awareness about this. But where I get lost is I feel that people get stuck on that wheel and they don't get off. And, you know, the good time, the fun, the, you know, being a celebrity, you know, notice me, see me. you know, everything that hip-hop is, you know, in the mainstream anyway, is about. You know, how do we move away from that? How do we get people to, okay, you know, listen to these lyrics, enjoy the music, but realize that there's a message in here for you that you actually need to act on instead of just talking about it. You know, we got a lot of people that talk Malcolm X but don't do Malcolm X. So, you know, your opinions on that?
Well, my opinions on it is I feel like music at this particular point has gotten to the point where it doesn't have the same impact because there really isn't a positive message in it. And I know that term is kind of, people don't really understand what that term means, because there is a message in the music, but it's not a good one. When you listen to the music now, it's mostly about, like you said, braggadocious. Look at me, I'm the best in the game. Ain't nobody can see me, I'm gonna eat these rappers, I'll take your girl. So a lot of kids grow up listening to it, and I think it is very impactful as far as the entertainment world. If we look back through history, Hitler used propaganda in order to pass his agenda on the Jews. Used the news media, using entertainment, everything that you can think of. That same method is used in America. The image of black folks is being tarnished by these young artists. A lot of them not realizing what's going on because they grew up seeing this. They grew up seeing these artists doing the same thing. So they're like, oh, when I grow up, I want to be rich and famous and have all these women and money and chains on my neck. So I'm going to mimic what I see the generation before me do. I'm going to do that same thing. So whenever I get to that point, I want to be that. I want to be Michael Jordan. I want to be Tupac. I want to be Denzel Washington or whatever entertainer they see. And it does have an impact on our youth. And I think the problem is we don't have control over it. We don't. We have to sit there and watch guys behind us in some suits and ties that are trying to market to people and pass a certain agenda. They're the ones that make that decision. They're the ones that make the decision on who gets played and who doesn't get played. And if you're talking about something, if you're actually trying to get people to think, and you're actually trying to put movies out there to get people to think, and you're actually trying to put out news with facts in it, they don't want that. That's why we have what we have now. We have Fox News and CNN, and all of them have their own agenda, trying to push a political agenda forward. Oh, this is a Republican agenda here at Fox News, conservative people. We want you to realize that black people need what they're talking about is bad. So they're bashing us. And they're dragging the Mexicans and whatever minority group in the mud and saying they're in this situation because they put themselves in this situation. They're not in this situation because of us. So if you're a white person, feel good about yourself. So that's what it's about. They're catering to white voters of the conservative mind state. And they haven't won an election in 8 years because of it, but they don't care. Because as long as they can keep people feeling comfortable in this PC era, politically correct era, where you can't speak your mind, you can't say what you actually feel, and you can't hurt people's feelings to step on toes, then they get away with it. Because they can just continue to tell white people that this issue that's going on has nothing to do with you. This issue that's going on with black folks is something that they bring upon themselves. And you can see it through the music. Look at these rap artists and look how they act. All they talk about is drug dealing and killing and smashing chicks. And look at these fat booties shaking in the back of the videos. Look at shows like Empire. Look at what these black folks is doing. Look at the reality TV. Look at World Star Hip Hop. So you have all these different outlets that are pushing this negative image of black folks, whereas the people that are positive and actually married and doing something with their lives are not shown. They're not portrayed. The Cosby shows, the days of the Cosby shows is gone. You know, as much as Bill Cosby might have ruined his image and did some terrible things and did the pound cake speech and all that, the one thing I can say is he did contribute some positive images of black folks onto television, which we don't see today. I can't think of a show really that does that. The closest thing we might have is Blackish. That might be the closest thing. So I So I'm looking at the world that we live in today, and I'm saying, if we don't take control of this, if we don't start having more radio shows like yourself pushing the positive image of black folks for our children to see, because every child doesn't grow up in a home that has a mother and father in it. A lot of them are raised off the streets, and they're raised off television, more so television, because we're in the social media era right now. So we're looking at kids that are in tune with social media, they're in tune with entertainment, they're in tune with music, and that's all they spend their time with. They're not outside playing ball and stuff anymore. They're not out learning from the elders anymore. Mm-hmm. They're learning from television. So they think that this is normal. This is the behavior that I should be exemplifying. And this is the behavior that I should be doing, because I see it on television all the time. This is what being black is, but it's not. So I do think it has an important role. And I'm just hoping that can shift. Now, is that the only thing that we need? No, but it is a very important piece because of the influence that it has on the mind. And I don't want to downplay that and say that it's not important, because it influenced me to an extent. It was a time in my life. And if I didn't have a good mom and dad in my house and good elders around me to tell me, hey, this is not what you need to be doing, I would have been doing the same foolishness. I would have been screaming out World Star with my cell phone up in the air, watching somebody get their brains bashed in and thinking it's funny and putting it on for the whole world to see. But because I did have that, I can think differently. So all I'm trying to do is, whenever I get my platform and get my chance to actually shine, is put on other artists that are doing the same things, males and females. I don't think there's enough females in the game, so I want to put more females on. But I want to hear people that are actually pushing a positive agenda and try to shift that so that we can kind of take control of the media. And I think that that's very important, that as black folks, we take a hold of that as well. The news outlets and the media outlets, and actually give people a different side of the story than what they always hear in the mainstream. So that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear what you had to say, because we don't hear enough of it, you know. And, you know, while we're on this tack in terms of discussing entertainment, now, I'm not trying to cause a beef or anything. I'm not trying to down anybody. But Lee Daniels had a public quarrel with Monique not too long ago. And I don't follow these things, but it ended up in the black press because of, you know, the quarrel itself. It wasn't so much who they were, but what they were debating about. And Monique basically said that she was, now I'm going by how I understand this, that she was somewhat, you know, put off, dissed, however you want to put it. Some say she was flat out insulted, depending on which black women you ask, that she said that she wanted to, you know, to do more positive roles, not the type of thing that she's been doing. That she always did comedy, and she always played, like, you know, kind of a you know, shady you know, person, or somebody who got caught up in something that wasn't, you know, particularly kosher. And that she feels that black women are doing more and should be shown doing more. And Daniels had said something about, well, look, you know, I'm going to continue to do like what we see in Empire, or perhaps what we saw when I first heard about him, his first, I believe that was his first production, Noah's Ark. It was a black show about, you know, gay men in the black community. And, you know, the first season seemed to be okay. The second season, I didn't understand where it was going. You know, the usual things are brought up that should have been brought up. And in that sense, I thought it was very positive. But he left both seasons kind of hanging as a viewer, and it didn't go anywhere. And then he got Empire. But where did he get Empire? On Fox. Fox News has been beating black people up ever since it was set up. Rupert Murdoch is a fascist. Everybody knows this. He's considered to be a neo-Nazi in Australia. He's actually very good friends, if not best friends, with the actor Mel Gibson's father in Australia, who was another, you know, known neo-fascist. So why would a black man, you know, who is connected to the gay community, go to Fox News or to the ownership of Fox Entertainment, of all of the, I mean, you know, BET isn't owned by black people either, but, you know, of all of the media entertainment corporations he could have gone to, or he could have accepted a gig from, he goes to Fox. which is insulting black people throughout their programming, except when it comes to Empire. But when you watch Empire, and I'm trying to be short with this, but when you watch Empire, because I've talked about this already, you're looking at you know, light-skinned black folks that are in the levels of control. They have the money. And then you have the darker people, right? The more African your features, you're the help. Or you're the people that's dangerous. So when we have black cinema in the early days of cinema, and I really hope this man forgives me for Spencer Williams, because I almost forgot his name. Many of those black films, and his was some of the few that didn't do this, but many of those early black productions had the same, color divisions, shade divisions, right? Who had the money? Who was the good person? Who was the bad person, right? It was always the darker cat. That was the evil one, The darker women with the more fuller figures, well, they would have broad beam mammies, or they were the loose women. So, you know, how have things changed from Spencer Williams to Lee Daniels in terms of Empire? Spencer Williams is trying to tell, you know, give a message that black people have the same human interactions, the same human emotions, the same human desires and goals and dreams as everybody else on the planet Earth. But when we get to Lee Daniels, what are we left with? I mean, he has a very good gay message that's positive and is helping a lot of people understand things. But the rest of it is still gangsterism. Or am I wrong about this?
Nah, you're absolutely right about it. Absolutely right. I don't watch the show myself, so I don't really know enough to speak on it.
My wife watches it, so I'm in the room.
Okay, so yeah, I've heard about it, but I don't really like reality TV and stuff like that. I've kind of love and hip hop, didn't watch that, so I couldn't tell you anything about the Empire, the same thing. I don't really partake in those things because I felt like... I kind of knew where the direction it was going to go, so I kind of cut myself off from it. I don't think that's always a good thing, because I think I should know more about what's going on, but a lot of stuff I just don't want it within my spirit or anything like that. So
no, I feel the same way, because she sat and watched Orange is the New Black, and I'm like, I'm not going to watch this. You know, I said, they're out here doing propaganda to make this seem that this is just another lifestyle. And you have people, white, especially white folks, and some of our people who have made it, who will say, oh, well, they want to do crime because they like that. They have fun in there. Didn't you just see Orange is the New Black? You know, it's like I'm hearing brothers already, you know, complaining to me about when they say something about racism or about unequal treatment or something on their jobs. They're being, you know, why can't you be like Ben Carson? It used to be like Obama. Now, why can't you be like Ben Carson? Or why can't you be like Lucius Lyon with the really young brothers? I'm hearing them on, you know, on the street talking about this. I don't hear anyone who wants to be a scientist. I mean, you got Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's out here, very visible, pretty much taking Carl Sagan's seat, if you will, as the face of physics in the United States and science in general. And, you know, I asked brothers about him. They don't know who I'm talking about. So, you know, outside of music and as a young, do you have children?
Yes, I have three.
Yeah. So, you know, you're a young father and, you know, how are you going to articulate this and deconstruct this for your family, you and your wife? You know, how have you decided as a family that you're going to deal with this, you know, considering the chaos that's out here? Because I think a lot of young black families would like to hear, you know, how another couple is, you know, kind of figuring out how to navigate all of this, and we're on Obama's last year, because you know this is going to be tough after this election. You know, white people are going to try to take the country back. So how are you preparing your family for this so that you can survive in the 21st century intact?
Well right now I'm trying to just be the example, because my kids are kind of young, but as they get older, I'm definitely right now, I got their head in the books anyway, but I definitely am going to teach them as much about black history that they won't learn in school, as well as, you know, what's going on in the world, and try to break it down in a way that they can understand it. But I think the most important thing as a parent and as a father to do is just lead by example, because kids watch what you do and they watch what you say, listen to it, everything. So they love to read a lot. So I'm definitely giving them books.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Read on it. They don't watch as much TV. We've cut the TV time down tremendously. So they spend most time playing or reading or doing something educational, because I'm trying to keep them from being infected. I'm not going to completely cut them off from what's going on as far as in the world, because I think that's unhealthy and they're going to be exposed to it anyway by other kids. But I'm definitely explaining it to them. Like, if they see something, I explain it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I just keep it real with them, tell them the truth. I also have an open door policy. If they do anything wrong, or if it's something negative or positive they've experienced or done, I let them know that they can talk to me about it, and I don't beat them up about it. I try to, you know, be understanding, because I've been a kid myself not too long ago. So I try to keep that open door policy with them, that they can speak to me about anything. My wife is the same way. So we wanted them to be able to communicate with us. So whenever they get older, they already have that in their mind, that you can come talk to us and we're not going to be irrational and just beat you down. You know, I grew up kind of different. Nothing against the way my parents raised me, but I'm just trying to improve upon it. Because I know with my parents, you tell them something, you done did something wrong, it's a butt whooping. You know what I'm saying? But with my kids, I let them know that I'm not going to do that. If you just come and be honest with me, just you know, man up, woman up. They're kids right now, so girl up, boy up. Tell me what you did, and we'll talk about it, and we'll discuss it. And we can discuss what are you going to do differently, how are you going to improve this behavior, or this decision, or whatever you just dealt with, you know, and explain to them how they can navigate through that. So that's what I'm doing right now.
All right, man. You know, again, you know, it's beautiful to hear. And is there anything else? What else do you have coming up down the pipe?
Well, for now, I'm kind of limited in what I can do with my time. I work 12-hour shifts. But so right now, I'm just doing videos. I do videos on YouTube, and I talk about different Black issues and just get my ideas of how we can improve our situation, because I know I can't do it by myself. And right now I'm doing music, but in the future, like I said, I really like to just speak to go around and tour on my tours and actually speak to people and do as much community help as I can. And hopefully I can get the funds, and whenever I do get the platform that I want, I can bring more people into it and help build upon it. And I also wanted to say that my name is pronounced Marion for the world and to know.
All right, my apologies, bro.
It's okay, sir. It's okay.
All right, so, you know, I want everybody to check him out. And what particular website should our listeners visit to learn more about you?
Well, right now I'm setting up a website. I don't have one, but you can check me out on SoundCloud. It's Marion, M-A-U-R-I-O-N, a.k.a. Phenomenon. And you can find me on SoundCloud. I got songs on there. I have videos as well if you type in Marion, a.k.a. Phenomenon on YouTube. I also post a link on my Twitter so everybody can reach me. And you can find me at Marion Gates. You can find me on Facebook as well. And I definitely add you or message whoever decides to add me there as well.
All right. He found me on Twitter at The Angry Indian, and you can too. And I advise you to check out my feed, because you will be seeing a lot from these young men. So we are out. And, you know, Brother Gates, thank you so much for taking the time out to be with us and sharing your music. And we hope to hear from you again and see. We hope to see you grow, man. Really want to see you out there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I will continue to strive and keep my drive alive.
All right, everyone. You've been listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
this. Our brother was selected before he was elected. Wait a minute. Now all of you know something about kingmakers. When people in back rooms come to somebody who's popular, somebody who's intelligent, that don't speak with a Negro dialect. A light-skinned Negro.
Well,
that is non-threatening to white people because they can see themselves in him because he's part them and part us.
Right.
This is political scheming, which Senator Reed got involved in. He didn't mean no harm. He was just talking about the white mentality.
Right. That's right.
So now, when you select a man, the man may never know what your purpose was. Because I understand that his initial victory in Iowa was financed largely by Goldman Sachs. I don't know the truth. That's what I've read. Now look, who selected a junior senator that hadn't even got his foot wet in the Senate and made him believe that he, from that position, could become president of the United States? I suggest to you,
Lord,
that the people that looked at him and saw his brilliance, saw that that brilliance could be used for a purpose that was not our agenda. Now, I'm closing now.
Well,
the people that chose him know the time that we are living at the end of America's rule as a great power in the world. Now you have to face it. She's bankrupt. What are you gonna do when the dollar is worth nothing? They're printing money out of thin air to back these programs. So my brother may be disappointing some that thought he would be what maybe he has the nerve not to be. So I say to all of you in this room and all who are watching by television, we need to pray for our brother and his family and warn America, leave that brother alone.
Este es Radio Insurgente, voz del Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional, transmitiendo desde las montañas del sureste mexicano.
I'm gonna stand until I can't stand no more. If I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a Listen Live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio, a nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Dar.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? HeadOnRadioNetwork.com.
To the hood librarians, we ship the prisons too. We reach out and deliver to those that's bitten too, but it's more than a bookstore. You wonder we got it, mixtapes, DVDs, and culture products. Black and Nobel got our hands in a lot of projects. You rock them all to come build the energy, it's positive. And remember, of the team, there's awakened conscious. Come through and experience this place of knowledge that said they'll put it in a book if they want to hide it from us. But we got the book, so you can buy it from us. Something to read while you're on a train or riding the bus. Get your read on, food for thought, get your eat on. Black and Nobel, I'm up with your Black and Nobel. Black and Nobel, I'm up with your Black and Nobel. Black and Nobel, I'm up with your Black and Nobel. Black and Nobel, I'm up with your Black and Nobel.
This is DJ Fusion of the Fusebox Radio Broadcast and BlackRadiosBack.com, and you're now listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, another slice of real black radio for the masses. All right? Peace.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
It ends on Newsback.